Life University podcast. I'm Dr. Karen Wyatt, hospice physician and author, bringing you information and inspiration on preparing for the end of life by living fully today. And thank you so much for joining me for another episode. This is episode number 111. And if you've been following the podcast regularly, you'll know if you're listening to this at the date it's being broadcast, I am currently still in Italy on my Italy vacation. And so this is a pre-recorded interview for you today. I recorded a lot of programs in advance so that they could still air once a week while I was gone. And for this episode, let's see, on the date that it airs, I will probably just be finishing up a bike tour through Puglia, the Puglia region in southern Italy. In another 2 weeks, I will be back home in Colorado, and you'll be able to get an update about my trip at that time. But if you're interested in following photos of my trip while I'm in Italy, I'll be posting them on Instagram and Facebook. So you can go to the show notes for this episode at eolupodcast.com and look for episode number 111, and you'll find links there to my Instagram profile and Facebook profile, and you can see the photos I'm posting from our trip. So that way you'll kind of know where I am and you'll be able to see what I'm seeing. Today, in just a moment, I'm going to be sharing with you an interview with Anita Brickman from the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and we have a great conversation about the NHPCO's Moments of Life campaign, and which is a campaign to really help change the public perception about hospice and therefore also about the end of life, and to cast it in a positive light, the possibility of still living and having meaningful experiences at the end of life, which is a message that we really need to get out there to everyone. So this is a really interesting interview with Anita, to talk with her about that campaign and what the NHPCO is doing to help just help spread the positive image and the positive news about hospice and about the end of life. So before we get started, I'll just remind you that this podcast is being supported through generous donations on my page at patreon.com/EOLU. There will also be a link to the Patreon page in the show notes for this episode. And I want to thank all of you who've been making contributions on a monthly basis for the past year to help keep this podcast on the air. Not only do your contributions help defray the financial costs of creating the podcast and the End of Life University interview series, but they also help just give me a reminder that there are people who listen and who find this content valuable. And so it helps me emotionally and spiritually to keep going and to remember that there are people listening. So just, you know, if you think about it, I sit here recording these episodes, but have no idea who listens and who values it. And these contributions through Patreon have made a huge difference to me. So if you decide to become a patron and make a contribution, I will read your name and publicly thank you in a future episode of the podcast. I will also be happy to promote any end-of-life related cause, website, book, organization, or business that you would like me to promote. And you'll also get access to our monthly hospice happy hour question and answer recordings that I send out every month, where I answer your questions about any topic related to the end of life. So if you decide you'd like to become a supporter, for just $1 or $2 a month, you can go to patreon.com, and that's spelled patreon.com/EOLU, and read more about it and decide if you'd like to become a supporter. And thanks once again to all of you out there who have stepped up to offer your contributions. It's greatly appreciated. And so now, without further ado, I'll go ahead and we'll listen to the interview with Anita Brickman from the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. And stay tuned. I'll be back at the very end to say goodbye.
Hello and welcome to another episode of End of Life University. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and I'm so glad you've joined us today because this is going to be a very special conversation. My guest today is Anita Brickman from the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and we're going to be talking about their Moments of Life campaign. And this is something you will definitely want to know about that will be very useful to you. So please stay tuned and listen in. First, I'll tell you a little bit more about Anita. She joined the NHPCO in September of 2013 as the Senior Vice President of Strategic Communications and spokesperson for the national organization, which represents 1,600 hospice and palliative care providers with 3,400 locations across the United States and more than 60,000 individual members. NHPCO's affiliates, the National Hospice Foundation and Hospice Action Network, promote access to the end-of-life benefit and advocate to lawmakers and regulators about its vital importance to patients and families. Prior to joining NHPCO, Ms. Brickman served as evening news anchor and health reporter at WUSA 9, the CBS affiliate in Washington, D.C. She also spent many years as the health reporter and anchor at 6 ABC Action News in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For nearly two decades, she focused primarily on medical journalism and the changing landscape of healthcare, with guest appearances on Good Morning America, Weekend Edition, and The Doctors. Anita also covered the medical relief mission on board the USNS Mercy hospital ship off the coast of Indonesia following the devastating Indian Ocean tsunami in 2004. For many years, Anita has also played an active role in the community, promoting health-related philanthropic organizations. She was the spokesperson for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Capital Area fundraising campaigns in 2009, a longtime advocate of the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women initiative, and the American Cancer Society's Making Strides Against Breast Cancer honorary chair in Philadelphia. Anita currently serves on the board of directors for the National Kidney Foundation. She is a wife and mother to three children, and her family now calls Bethesda, Maryland home. Anita, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's so such a pleasure to join you and to talk to so many of your subscribers who are passionate about the best care at the end of life.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to this discussion about the Moments of Life campaign. I've spent the last couple of days looking at viewing all the videos on the website, and I actually, this morning I was watching a few and I had to stop because I was in tears and I thought, oh no, I won't be able to do this interview if I keep watching these right now because they're just so inspiring and beautiful. So anyway, I'd love for you to tell our audience about the campaign and what it consists of.
Well, it actually launched in May of 2014, and when I joined the organization, NHPCO had commissioned some research about public perceptions of hospice care. And what they found, again, what they found is that in people who had had a personal experience, a family member had been served by hospice, a friend, a loved one of some kind had been served by hospice, they had a very positive feeling and experience with it and would often, in the vast majority of cases, recommend hospice to others or also consider it for themselves. However, much of the public doesn't know what this experience is like. And in those individuals, there is far more trepidation, misunderstanding. What exactly is hospice? Is it a place I go? How is it paid for? Am I just laying in bed waiting to die? And the impetus for the campaign was trying to shape messages that break down those barriers, break down those myths, and to show people that when hospice and palliative care, of course, is accessed at the appropriate time early enough, a person can have so many more meaningful moments than they might have on a different trajectory where they end up dying in a hospital. The campaign is actually called Moments of Life Made Possible by Hospice, and it was a very novel thing for NHPCO. I said, I want to use my background as a journalist, a video journalist, to start chronicling these stories from around the nation of people while they're in hospice care, not afterward. We often would have testimonials from families about how well things went and how they wish they'd gotten their loved one there sooner. I said, we need to show real people, not scripted, not finessed, shot beautifully, yes, focused on the joyous moments, yes, but also not shying away from what the illness is and the fact that this person, this family, and these caregivers were all dealing with this with the help of hospice. So when we started, when we launched in May of 2014, we barely had a handful of videos. And it was immediately so embraced by the hospice community. Not only were people sending in a provider sending in videos that their own staff had filmed, we started sending out cameras and people started capturing snippets and writing blogs. We launched a campaign called Take a Moment, Make a Moment, where we asked them to share photos. All of this now resides on momentsoflife.org. Momentsoflife.org. It has all the videos, incredible stories, and more importantly, ways for people to participate, to share their story. Then we hope once a member of the public is engaged with whether it's an emotional video or the story of a baby getting pediatric palliative care in a blog, once they're drawn in there, there's also so much information on the site about palliative care, about how hospice works, about advanced directives, about grief, about support systems. So we really hope that people will not only become more aware of hospice, but become engaged. And from the moment the campaign, you know, was launched, it really took off in cities across the country.
Well, I can see why. And as a physician, I wanted to say I would love for these videos to be shown to every medical student in the country, because still, when I go around and speak to physician groups, I find great misconceptions amongst doctors about hospice and what hospice really is. And many of them feel it's so depressing. I don't want to tell patients about it. I don't want to send anyone there because it's so hopeless. And there's no way in my words I can convey to anyone what these videos show in just a couple of minutes of listening to patients talk about their experience.
Well, you know, and I think that is so true. And I would be happy to visit every medical school in the country if you can facilitate that, Dr. Wyatt. I'll take this on a road tour. But it is true. It does challenge perceptions. You know, one of our most recent videos that we added about, we call her Grandma Lux. She is a longtime resident of New York. Her granddaughter was very concerned with her. Her grandmother has terminal lung cancer, and they are a Chinese-American family, and there were some cultural barriers to thinking about hospice care, and their physicians weren't really talking about it. She was in great distress by the time she ended up at a hospice facility in Brooklyn. They were able to stabilize her pain, to kind of adjust her regimen to the point that she was so much more responsive, able to spend time with her great-grandson, with her granddaughter, was outside in her wheelchair, got up, started walking again, not even reliant on oxygen all the time. By the time we met her and filmed her story, this woman was beaming with life. Hospice literally stabilized her to the point that at one juncture she moved out of the hospice inpatient facility to the nursing home and then went home with her granddaughter, literally graduating from hospice. Now, again, that's an unusual situation. Most people do not graduate from hospice, but that stabilization, that interdisciplinary team coming in and saying, okay, what can we do for this patient from a physical, psychosocial, and spiritual angle? How do we make things better for everyone? That happens again and again. And if more physicians could see that and say, here's a team of people ready to embrace my patient, then it's not hopeless. It's actually hopeful of making the most of the time that's left.
Exactly. And you're so right. It's hard to sit in front of someone and say, you wouldn't believe how fantastic hospice care is. It's hard to convince someone of all of those little miracles that we see over and over again in hospice if they haven't experienced it for themselves and witnessed it with their own eyes.
Well, that's why NHPCO is also a very big champion of palliative care and of starting to break down the barriers. One of the hardest things about electing the hospice benefit is that a patient has to forego curative treatment. And in many cases, that is a difficult decision for the patient or their family members to make, and that can be a barrier to hospice. What we believe is that there should be a more clear continuum. Palliative care, as you know, doctor, is available to anyone with a serious illness. You do not need to be in an end-of-life phase to request a palliative care consult. That team is also focused on supporting the patient, kind of acting as a bridge of support while curative treatment happens. We are also profiling a young woman with lupus who lives in South Jersey, who her sister died of lupus. She was very much struggling, heading to kidney dialysis, trying to keep going, and was just having one emergency room visit after another. Once a palliative care team became involved, they were able to stabilize her symptoms, check in on her, get things going in the right direction. She's living independently, involved again with her church. Yes, she's still getting kidney dialysis. Yes, she needs different therapies for her lupus, but her quality of life is better. So that person is receiving palliative care and has already been introduced to this team approach that if and when it comes time for hospice, when that is the more appropriate option, hopefully that barrier has been overcome. And eventually, we would like to see it that you wouldn't have to make a choice, that concurrent care would be available, as in the support of hospice and palliative care without having to say, no, I'm giving up, because it's not giving up. It really is one of the best choices people can make, but it's a hard one to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an excellent point to emphasize, because there's even less knowledge, it seems to me, about palliative care in the community right now because it's newer on the scene. And so it's wonderful that you can teach people about the existence of palliative care and the benefits that it has to offer and the fact that it is a bridge into hospice.
Oh, I think so. And we also know that especially for people who are dealing with the illness, an illness of a child or a young person, it is really a very difficult thing. And I speak from personal experience, unfortunately, after the loss of a child, that it is very hard to ever think about giving up. And it can be a different situation if a person has lived a very full life and that individual has made a decision, you know, I'm 90, I don't want to go in for another heart surgery, I just want my symptoms managed, I want to stay at home. If you're talking about an illness that is moving toward a terminal place with a child or a young person, it can be very, very difficult for a family to say, okay, I'm ready for hospice support. That's why we are so happy that under the Affordable Care Act, children can receive concurrent care, meaning they can still choose, the family can choose to, let's say, try another round of chemo or go for radiation. But already a hospice or palliative care team can come in and start supporting that family, helping prevent crises, helping the child stay out of the hospital as much as possible at home. So we are very happy that concurrent care is available in pediatric populations. We believe that it should be at some point for adults as well. And in fact, some private insurance companies are already going that way.
That's very good news to hear, because that will really transform everything in terms of how we present hospice to people if concurrent care is possible. So excellent news.
And the government has testing sites across the country right now where certain hospices are being contracted to offer support, just counseling and support to individuals who are facing chronic illnesses to see how this test model works. So we are hopeful that we really are moving in the right direction as a country, because to treat illness aggressively and without you know, just relentlessly up to a certain point and then saying, oh, there's nothing we can do, that doesn't serve anyone. A family is often left, you know, bereft. Whereas if you can, we could look at it as a continuum, as in we will do everything medicine has to offer up to a point that that's not helping as much. Maybe we start bringing in more comfort care. Maybe we switch your goals from a cure to a long-term management of illness, and then at some point, acquiescence that death may be imminent. But that's a hard thing for Americans, and I think it's something that the Moments of Life campaign is trying to address. There's one particular video called Moments of Grace, and it really tries to shatter the myths of what hospice, what people think it is. And it shows a man named Robert, who is a lifelong teacher. He's in his son's home, and it is simply the most simple of vignettes. There's a family cooking dinner. His grandkids are there, one of them showing him something on an iPad. Another one has like a light stick. She's running around. His daughter-in-law is cooking dinner. Robert's sitting there with a glass of wine. He's on his hospital bed. He has an IV, but he's there in his home. And they say grace, and dinner begins. And it's just that simple moment that we wanted people to see and say, yes, this man has cancer. He knows that at some point it will take his life, but he is going to do his darndest to enjoy the moments he has, and hospice helps support that. That's the message we have to get out there.
That's so beautiful, and yes, that's one of the vignettes that I just loved. And I wanted to point out the one thing that really impressed me about these videos. First of all, they're very high quality. They've been done so well with music, and the filming is fantastic. It's excellent. But also they show such diversity in terms of their, you know, there's multicultural diversity in the patients and the family members. And they show they cover different parts of the country, patients of all ages, various diagnoses as well. And so you've done such a good job of presenting this comprehensive picture of what hospice and palliative care really cover.
Well, I'm really happy to hear you say that. NHPCO has made a commitment to increase acceptance of and access to hospice and palliative care in diverse communities, because we know from our national statistics that we gather every year that hospice is underutilized in African American, Hispanic, and other minority communities. So initially, we really had to work hard to try to make sure we were trying to showcase hospice in every community, and I feel like especially here in the second year of the campaign, we've made some major inroads. And our campaign PSA, which you can also watch on momentsoflife.org, focuses on a woman named Willie, who is an African-American great-great-great-grandmother in Ohio. And what the campaign PSA does is juxtapose a hospital setting with a voice, a very deep voice, which is actually a family member of hers, saying, most of us say this is not the where we want to end up. And you see the hospital room, you see the machines beeping, and then you see this curtain, and the voice says, you know, but for the vast majority of people, this is the last thing they'll see. And then the video transitions to a picnic setting in a big park, and it is a huge family picnic with watermelon and cupcakes and kids running everywhere, and Willie is there in the middle. Yes, she's in a wheelchair. Yes, she has multiple comorbidities, but this woman is there enjoying this because of a choice she made to get support from hospice that helped her stay in her home environment. That's the message we have to share across the country to different age groups, to different diverse communities, and to different illness settings. People sometimes don't understand that hospice is more than just for cancer patients. Our videos focus on dementia, ALS. We have a child with a congenital disorder, again, cancer, of course, but many different kinds of illnesses that over time can require hospice care. It is designed as a six-month benefit, but if a doctor deems that the patient is still hospice appropriate, it can be longer than that. The problem is that many patients come in for maybe 7 days, 8 days, 10 days. That's simply not enough time for people to get the full benefit of what hospice teams can do.
Mm-hmm. And these videos will go a long way to reducing fear and I think increasing acceptance of hospice at an earlier point in the course of illness, hospice and palliative care, as you said, because there's something, they're so inviting and so welcoming and inspirational all at the same time. They're not depressing, but as you said, they also don't gloss over the difficult aspects of dying either. But
one of my favorites, and I think, well, there's two of them that really, I think, touch a lot of people. Dawn's Honor Flight has been one of the most patriotic and most favored and watched videos of a veteran from Montana who is able, he has COPD, has a lot of trouble breathing, but he's able to go on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. with his son. And we sent the filmmaker through the whole journey on honor flight as they toured the memorials, as Americans were giving their thanks. Don and his son end up back on the bus. There are letters from children thanking him. As they fly home, they arrive back at the airport in Billings, Montana, and there is a huge crowd, not just for Don, but for all the veterans who are on the honor flight welcoming them home. This gentleman died within a few hours of making that trip, and we asked the son, in a very emotional time, I have to say, to chronicle and talk about that experience. And what comes across in this video is his emotion, his joy, and his sadness at the loss of his father, but this trip of a lifetime that they took together. There's another video called Finishing Strong out of Houston with a former NFL player, and it showcases his life. He had a lymphoma that was not going to be cured. The chemo was just wrecking his quality of life, and after several rounds, he said, it's enough. And they started to just rely on hospice and comfort care. And the video showcases that because of that, you see him with his wife, his kids, fishing, all these kind of things. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen up until the very last day. We know that. But for a long period of time, he was supported. And in it, Brian Caldwell says, I call this my timeless time. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I'm not dying right now. And it's about embracing that mentality and thinking that hospice can be there, not just in those final days at brink of death.
I love that. My timeless time. That's really a beautiful sentiment. And I know one of the other, the mother of an infant that was terminally ill, she said, each day can be a miracle. And that really touched me as well, because that's honestly how I felt it, working in hospice. That's what hospice helped with. We helped patients find the miracle in every day that they had left to them.
Well, this was so interesting, too. Baby Amanda, Amanda Gonzalez is the baby. She was diagnosed, the family found out, when she was in the womb with trisomy 18 and you know, were told, were actually advised that they may want to terminate. The family's faith was such that they really felt strongly they did not want to take that option. And, you know, the doctors at some point kind of said, we're not really sure that we have much more to offer you. You know, if you want to continue with the pregnancy, we don't know how long she'll live, if she'll even make it through the birthing process. What is fascinating is that perinatal hospice stepped in to start working with the family before Amanda was ever born. And their whole idea was to say, whatever time she's here, we're going to make it the best that we can for you and her. And, you know, this was filmed last year, and, you know, I just checked in with the family, and Amanda is still doing well. It's unbelievable. She's, you know, yes, and she will not be able to progress beyond what this disorder means, but her family has been able to enjoy these precious moments, family vacations. There's an older child, and child therapy specialists help with her and interacting with the baby. And, yes, the parents said, you know, it took away some of the anxiety. And what they tried to focus on there, too, is avoiding anticipatory grief, which we know is when you know that there is a terminal situation, how do you stop the anxiety about what may come and enjoy what is now? That is a hard thing to do, especially with a child. But with hospice stepping in at the perinatal point, they were there as a support team when Amanda was born.
And I think one of the two parents, unless I'm mixing it up with another video, said something about we were standing in the darkness and hospice came to show us the way. And, you know, they, and that's, that's another beautiful way to put it, that that's really what hospice does best, to show people the way through a dark and difficult time.
And, you know, Karen, a lot of things, and one thing people don't realize is not just showing them through the process of end of life, it's how do you heal after the loss. Mm-hmm. Hospice teams provide grief and bereavement support for a year after, to the family after a person dies. And many times in their communities, free of charge, they offer grief support groups, whether people were served by hospice or not. There is a video that it's so one of my favorites. It's funny you said, you know, everything was high production. Some things we really did on the fly to capture them as they were happening. There's a video called Grief Through a Child's Eyes. And I sent one of the younger members of my team with a freelancer. We literally embedded them in a children's grief camp, Camp Aloha in Savannah, Georgia. And they were there for the weekend with these kids bunking in a separate bunk there and following them through this weekend. That hospice and many others offers grief support to kids who've lost a loved one, sometimes to violence, sometimes to illness, all different accidents, all different kinds of things. The parent or the loved one does not even have had to have been in hospice care. The hospices say, we are experts in helping show people the light after the darkness, and we can be there in grief support. So these kind of camps happen all across the country. So children who are grieving and may not have friends that they can talk to about it easily get a chance to open up. And the theme at Camp Aloha is life is about hello, life is about goodbye. And the kids start to learn that that's kind of part of it, and it is very hard and it is sad, but there is a way to carry on that loved one's feeling with you and still find joy in your life moving forward. So that's, I think, a video that resonates with a lot of people too, because you see kids who are overcoming a loss and you see the team of people helping them do that.
Oh, it is. It's a beautiful video. And what an incredible asset to the community a group like that can be, because so often children, I think, get overlooked in the grief process because the adult family members are all grieving themselves and they aren't really able to help the child. But to have an asset like this camp that they can go to process their grief and find support and connect with other children, that's really amazing.
And, you know, we also profiled a spouse's support, a young widow and widower's group. There's all different kinds. And I hope that people, first of all, at momentsoflife.org, not only can they learn about hospice, grief support, all different kinds of things, there's a tool on the website called Find a Hospice. And even if you're not necessarily thinking, wow, I need a hospice right now, finding out which ones are in your local community, that can be a great starting point to go through to their websites and see, maybe I do need a support group for grief, and I could find that with my hospice community. If I have a loved one who is a veteran, we have a program called We Honor Veterans. Hospices across the country participate in this, making sure that those who have served our country are honored in every way possible at the end of life. There are so many ways that hospice is ingrained in the community, and that's why we wanted to have this tool on Moments of Life, made possible by hospice, to show people, okay, I can just put in my zip code, my city, and I can find providers who are all around me, whether I'm ready for hospice, maybe I just want a consult, maybe I need grief support, maybe I just want to have a conversation with someone for something down the road. We make that available, and we encourage people to call sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say, too, that one of the best ways to face our own fears about death and dying is to become a hospice volunteer. And yes, I'm sure every hospice around the country would welcome anyone who might like to become a volunteer. And that's one of the very best ways to offer support to hospice and also learn more about it at the same time.
The volunteers are so critical, and I know, and I've talked to them when people have said to them, gosh, how can you do this? It's so depressing. And they will tell you it is absolutely the opposite. You come to value so much in life by being with someone at this critical time. They talk about the fact that, you know, it is such a sacred time. As much as bringing a life into this world, ushering someone out, there are vigil volunteers who stay by the bedside so that a loved one can just get out and run out and get some groceries or head to the dry cleaner. Volunteers are so key in supporting the families and visiting and just helping be that extra element of support. And many of the families we interviewed not only talked about the nurses and doctors and social workers, but they talked about the volunteers who became kind of part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen that over and over again. So that's another resource on the website, is just to find a local hospice and ask about being a volunteer.
That's right. Absolutely. And then the other thing I'd like to point out, if you are someone facing a serious illness, there's a tool called What Are My Options? It literally walks someone through the trajectory of the curative process, palliative care, and hospice. Where am I in crossroads that I could take to at least get an idea of, you know, my symptom control? When is it time for a consult? When should I maybe consider bringing another layer of support into my life? I think that could be a very powerful tool for physicians, especially those who are having a very difficult time talking to their patients about this sort of thing, which we know doctors do have a hard time because they worry that their patients think they're giving up on them. We would like to see the What Are My Options tool widely used, because in all cases, it talks about advanced care planning and directives. Making your wishes known. How much intervention do you want at the end of life? If you want everything in the book to make sure you try for that cure, great. Then you need to, you can say that in advance directive. Tell your family what you do and don't want, because it can help in conversations down the road. So we hope not just to educate people, but give them tools if they're not comfortable. Maybe it may not be the physician who's uncomfortable. It may be the patient, but the patient can go in and say, you know, I kind of walked through this, and I think that I might need extra support from palliative care. What do you think about that? And we're hoping to elicit those conversations, because not talking about it, not thinking about the healthcare continuum through to death does not serve us, not as individuals or families or as a country.
Absolutely. And so that tool that you were talking about, the What Are My Options tool, that's something those of us who interact with physicians, you know, some of us are going out and speaking to physicians in the community. We could utilize that tool and offer it to physicians.
That would be wonderful. We would really like that. And the other thing that we have done is to create a DVD, because we do know in talking to our providers, sometimes you're in a place and you're presenting, your internet connection is not so great, and you worry about the video stopping or buffering. So we created a DVD with some of our best videos, a two-piece DVD set that includes the PSAs, the most viewed and popular stories from momentsoflife.org, and we have that for sale on NHPCO's website, because we feel like at a pretty nominal cost given the production, because we want people to purchase the DVD and use it. And we have gotten wonderful feedback, because it enhances presentations, whether you're presenting to a clinical audience, maybe you're presenting to educators, maybe you're presenting to the general public. And each video, again, showcases so many different aspects of hospice and different patient populations that you can really tailor it to who you're speaking to. So we hope the DVD will become a widely used tool in all kinds of outreach and education efforts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very excited about it as a speaker, because, as I was saying to you, to stand on a stage and talk about hospice is nothing like being able to show a few minutes of a hospice patient describing their experience. And it's a tremendous asset. So I'm going to purchase the DVD today myself, but I would encourage those of you in the listening audience who do some speaking or teaching and interacting with others. I think it's a fantastic tool that you've made available to us.
Well, I'm so happy that it is available, and we have it on momentsoflife.org, also at nhpco.org in our marketplace, and we'll provide you with links, Dr. Wyatt, that you can share on your site to the websites and where the DVD can be purchased. But more than anything, we just want people to visit momentsoflife.org and spend a few moments watching the stories and hopefully feeling inspired in their own lives, in their own professions, and thinking about hospice in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And it's time well spent, I guarantee you. And even if you're a seasoned hospice worker and you've heard every story, you'll still be touched by the videos that you watch. And you will also think of someone you know who needs to watch a particular video.
They can be inspiring, and I've had hospice professionals tell me, this helped me get my passion back. This reminded me about why I do what I do. Because, of course, burnout can be tremendous in a field like this. And it is so important, you know, that we stay connected and compassionate and there for our patients. And wherever we glean that inspiration, I think it is so important for all of our hospice professionals and volunteers. And also, that's where we've seen so many of them get involved in the campaign. There's a way, if there's a simple share your story tab, if you have a photo of you and your loved one with a hospice experience, if you're a hospice professional and you've helped someone have a special moment, post that picture there. Give us an explanation, and we will link back to your organization, even in the photo gallery. So there are so many ways for the public to find you and to find resources if they spend a little bit of time on momentsoflife.org.
And so I wanted to, so could a hospice organization, they could purchase the DVD and use it in their own training for volunteers, perhaps, or with their staff as kind of a staff rejuvenation if they wanted to do that?
Oh, absolutely. And we also encourage them to link through to momentsoflife.org from their website. We have an opening video that showcases in kind of short form so many of the different faces, the people, the diseases they were dealing with, the moments that they had. It's called What is Moments of Life? And we would hope that just showing that alone, I think, shows so much of the variety, and we are hoping that hospice providers and organizations of all kinds link through to that video as a way to bring people to the site and say, hey, just take a look at this. Spend 2 minutes. And that may change your whole perception of what end-of-life care is all about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I want to say I'm so thrilled and pleased to hear that the NHPCO has done this, because honestly, my perception of the NHPCO in the past is that it was primarily a lobbying and political organization in a way. I didn't really have a clear understanding of how much NHPCO is doing to educate the public and do this outreach. So I'm glad to learn about that.
Well, I am happy, and I'm happy to be part of the organization and to help spearhead this, because we want to only make it grow. Our PSAs have been seen by 4.4 million people already, and we're trying to get them placed even further. We had a digital ad campaign that had 17 million impressions, and you know, we keep having more and more unique users. We're almost at 250,000 on the website, and every time we have a media placement, we see a spike in traffic, and we know we need to get the word out. We've been able to garner media attention in Houston, Cleveland, New York, Washington, D.C., and many, many smaller communities. Our hospice providers have gone to their TV stations and say, hey, put this PSA on the air. Help us out here. And it's working. So we need everyone's help. And there's so many ways to get involved. As I said, people can share the videos, either through the DVD or through the website. They can share a story of their own. They can contact us at communications@nhpco.org. If you think you've got a story that deserves, like, professional filming and having a film crew come out, call us, talk to us, call me, send me an email, communications@nhpco.org. That's how we've gotten some of our best stories. And we want to keep moving forward. We want to find patients in rural areas. We are focusing now. We really want to showcase a Hispanic family. Different issues with long-term care as far as dementia and Alzheimer's. There are so many areas that we want to educate the public, but we want to do it through moments, not through heavy-handed information, but by inviting people in and saying, take a look, change your mind, feel something, learn something at momentsoflife.org.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I have to say, this campaign really does, it really seems to be filling a need, a desperate need for information in our community, and it's filling it in the most inspiring way possible.
Well, I'm glad you think so, Doctor, and I'm so glad to be your guest.
Yes. Well, Al, I want to thank you so much for sharing this and just for all this work you've done and the inspiration that you've had to create this campaign and put it all together. And I think it will be a huge benefit to all of those of us out there in the community trying hard to spread the word about hospice, just to have tools and resources available to us that we would never be able to create on our own. That's a tremendous gift, so thank you.
Well, it would be a gift to us if people use them, share them, and through social media as well. Hopefully we can post a link on your website where this new video resides. If we can start sharing this, we've had several of our posts go viral. We want them to go global and let people know that there are so many options that are different than what they may perceive as far as hospice care. So it would be a gift to NHPCO to have all of your subscribers involved in.
Oh, well, thank you. And I also found out this morning that you can share the little video vignettes directly to Facebook with the
yes, you can.
Link. I just
yes,
shared one.
Can.
I shared one this morning just to try it out. And so that's a fantastic way to do it, too, is just keep sharing those videos so that they get seen by more and more people.
Exactly.
And so, well, I'm so thrilled that you were able to take time out to come and talk to us about this campaign, Anita.
Well, and, it was my pleasure. And again, like I said, hopefully on your website we can post some links for folks. And we at NHPCO are always welcoming inquiries about it, submissions to the campaign. So please participate. The beauty of it is that it is so organic and ever-changing. It's not static, and that gives us so much potential in educating people about this vital part of care.
Oh, absolutely. So to everyone listening out there, be sure to go to momentsoflife.org, spelled just like it sounds, momentsoflife.org, or to the NHPCO website. Is that right? You can access it through either.
Either I would say momentsoflife.org is the easiest way to get to it, and we will have a place to purchase the DVD on the website itself. And we are also welcoming from individuals who feel passionate about a hospice experience or their work in the field. You can also make a donation to the campaign on momentsoflife.org in any amount, because it just helps us fuel the campaign, collect more videos, and disseminate them through to the public through public relations, media, all different kinds of activities. So there are so many ways that we would welcome people's support at momentsoflife.org.
Yes, and it's definitely a win-win situation, because we will all benefit from sharing these tools and connecting together and spreading the word in our own communities. So thank you, Anita, for taking your time and being here today, and thanks to everyone listening in, too. And I hope you'll be sure and take a look at the Moments of Life website and get involved in this campaign. So, thank you again. And until the next time we're together, I'll say goodbye.
And so that's our interview with Anita Brickman of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization about the Moments of Life campaign, which I think is a fantastic effort to spread the good news about hospice care. So I hope you enjoyed the interview. I hope you'll go check out momentsoflife.org. And next week there will be another pre-recorded interview while I'm still in Italy, but at the very end of my trip. And so remember to tune in every Monday for new episodes of this podcast. And until we meet again, remember to face your fears. Be ready for whatever life brings you, and love your life. Love every moment. So we'll see you soon. Take care and goodbye.